Blackhawks fans, welcome into the Four Feathers podcast and happy hockey days to all of our listeners out there. It's Johnny Nani alongside Ron Luce bringing you season 5, episode 18 of the Four Feathers pod. Ron, crack 'em. A little holiday cheer going on here. This fine.
Yeah, crack 'em, Johnny. We're going very on brand today. Not only are we celebrating today with a cold, crispy, hoppy IPA from Sam Adams, but we got the Sam Adams glass to go with it too. And we got some lights. You know, we're trying to get into the hockey day spirit at Four Feathers.
We're getting into the spirit. I'm feeling the spirit. I am the liquor. My go-to Christmas sweater here. I know our guy Kirk, who's in the comments already, appreciates that. A little Mr. Leahy action going on here. Yeah, it should be a fun one here. Festive episode of Four Feathers coming at you. Talking all things Blackhawks before we get to kind of this Christmas. There's a couple of last few games before they go on that break. But this will be our last episode before the actual holiday. So we wanted to get one out for all of our listeners there. Before we jump into all the happenings in the world of Blackhawks hockey, make sure you go and subscribe to YouTube, On Tap Sportsnet. Like us on Facebook there as well, On Tap Sportsnet there. Jump in the comment section. So yeah, here we go. Like our guy Kirk right here. I'm getting drunk tonight, Randy. You are the liquor. We are the liquor. Join the comment section like that. We can feature you right here below us. If you subscribe on YouTube and comment through there.
And Johnny, our X users can also comment along now. We can actually see them.
We finally do have an update there. Thank God. I'm so glad we
finally did.
Oh, yeah. Throw your comments in there. We can feature them on the screen there. It's been a while, but still go over on the YouTube On Tap Sportsnet there as well. And check out OnTapSportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports, literature, and podcasting needs. All right, Ron, at first, if we were going to jump on earlier in this week, I was just going to title this Blackhawks injury report because we have so many of those to talk about. But I want to go with what's most recent, and that was a positive experience in terms of the Blackhawks. And talking about that win on Tuesday against the Colorado Avalanche, because I think that brought a lot of joy, like we're about to this episode.
It brought a lot of joy, Johnny. They were handing out goals in big moments, like Santa hands out presents on Christmas Eve to all the little children around the world. Johnny, that was a well-needed victory. Let's call it what it is. I think that was the hockey season Christmas gift to all Blackhawks fans everywhere, because it was getting a little depressing. You know, they were battling, they're beat up. And for a team like the Avs to, you know, come to town and the Hawks can take care of business like that, you got to love to see it right before the holidays.
Yep, absolutely. And that snapped a 4-game losing streak where morale was definitely low, Ron, because I alluded to all of those injuries. And we'll get into like the full blown injury report of who's dealing with what their return timelines are in a little bit there. But the personnel was depleted and you saw it just absolutely fall off the rails on last Thursday against Seattle, 7-1 loss. It was just brutal. They didn't even look competitive in that game. And then they put up a better fight, I'll give them that, against Vancouver. I was in attendance for that game, given their personnel, but still ultimately slipped away from them due to some defensive lapses. It looked like they had a game plan and they executed it on Tuesday night, Ron. And that was what was most encouraging to me.
Definitely. I mean, they shut down all the big guns for the Colorado Avalanche. We all already know how well documented it is, how good they are. There was a lot of, you know, McKinnon Bedard talk coming again into this game because of former first overall picks. And the Hawks showed up and Bedard specifically, right? Two helpers. He's handing out the gifts in the holiday season, Johnny. And you got to love to see it. I think, you know, I've got a thought on Mr. Bedard later in the show that I'm going to say, but well-rounded game. That it looked like that the buttons that Luke Richardson was pushing in terms of some of the line combinations, obviously they kind of had to finagle at last minute due to Kurashev getting sick. It worked out. And like you said, when you look at how depleted they are, especially on the blue line, how young that blue line was, and they played that well against the Avs, they had a plan, just like you said, Johnny. They stuck to it and they executed to perfection. And some early stick taps in the show here to Mr. Peter Mrazek, because he had a hell of a game as well.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll do a little bit more on that game, but just so you get a picture of what's going on with the roster right now, let's dive into that injury report, Ron. And it reads like a novel, man. I believe it now we're up to 10 names that are on this thing in terms of an absence or an illness, injury, whatever you want to call it. Joey Anderson now on IR. Andreas Athanasiou, still no return timeline. It's a groin injury for him. He's been on IR since early November. Colin Blackwell finally made his debut on Tuesday. We'll talk more about him. Mackenzie Entwistle missed two games. Sounded like that was a pretty gnarly illness for him, but he came back on Tuesday. Seth Jones is out at least through. He'll be out before these games before Christmas, so don't expect to see him until after the holiday. Taylor Hall, obviously out for the season. Kevin Korchinski, RIP to his father. It was a sad occurrence when that news came to light, but he is still getting back into the rhythm. Now returned to the team, at least taking practices. Philip Kurashev, like you said, missed Tuesday, so need to do some line shuffling there. Jared Tenorti's in concussion protocol, but he might return Friday, so we don't know. We'll probably know more at the morning skate then. And then Alex Vlasic has missed the last three games now. He's skating on his own, although not back in the mix in terms of lineup. Ron, I'm out of breath after reading all of that. Takeaways for all these injuries.
Johnny, my takeaway is this could read like a Christmas song. I mean, you can almost put it to the words. Like, you have Christmas Andy. No, even better. You could do it to like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You have Andy and Entwistle and Jonesy, Hall and Corchy and Kurashev and Tenorti. But do you recall the most famous 6'6" defenseman of the ball? Alex the Big Man Vlasic.
Ron, you're making this injury report too cheery for me.
I know.
I'm like depressed reading that.
It's
at least we can laugh about it.
Trying to turn the morale around, Johnny. But in all seriousness, it's unfortunate. It does look like a lot of these guys are starting to come back, though. Obviously, Entwistle's return was nice to see. Colin Blackwell, talk about coming back and making a huge impact on this team. I think just the energy level alone that he brought was well needed for the Blackhawks. And it's good to see Korchinski at least back in the building. I know he's not playing just yet. It sounds like Kurashev's not too far away. Hopefully Vlasic's back soon. So it's a bummer, Johnny, but it really does seem like a lot of these guys are on the verge of coming back, and hopefully we can see them probably somewhere around the start of the new year. I hope, you know, once the Winter Classic's being played on New Year's Day, we get some updates on these guys that they're coming back soon, but still a lot of big names missing, either lost very early in the season or that we just haven't gotten a lot of update on. I think that kind of falls under Athanasiou.
I was just going to bring in Andreas Athanasiou has to be the biggest question mark on here. At least we have some level of, oh, they're close, or we know what their status is in terms of Korchinski getting back into the mix, right? Andreas Athanasiou felt like it's been like radio silence for like the better part of the last month here. And that's 100%. A big part of your forward group there. And I know that there have been some guys like Colin Blackwell who just got back in and stepped up and made an impact, maybe not in the same way skill scoring wise, but Andreas Athanasiou, we've been talking about, you know, when they're going through that wall, what was, oh, Bedard needs help. Well, that's a guy that could help with some of the offensive production. So it doesn't all have to be on Connor Bedard. I'm just, even with the kind of minor update that Ben Pope gave, I believe that was before Tuesday's game, still doesn't sound great on that front. So that's the biggest takeaway that I had from this injury report outside of the notable defenseman being depleted there. So but we'll have to see on that. Stay tuned on tapsportsnet.com and our social accounts at Four Feathers Pod and at On Tap Sportsnet on X, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you follow us. All right, Ron, let's talk about guys that returned. And Colin Blackwell, man, what a little spitfire, as Luke Richardson liked to call him, in that game against Colorado on Tuesday. He did not record a goal. He did not record an assist, but he did have three shots on goal, so he was forcing the issue a little bit. And he had a game high and team high six hits, and the biggest one came at the end of that third period on Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, it sure did. I think, too, at that point in the game, it really just put the nail in the coffin for the Avs, right? They were already frustrated. They were trailing the Hawks. You know, this game was deadlocked or a one-goal game the entire way. They were so close. The Hawks, you know, take that lead on that incredible, you know, work out in front of the net. And now it's like, oh, they're trying to make that push. That's what it felt like at that point in the game. And then here comes Blackwell. Lights up your number one player, your stud, just gives them the business. And it threw every single one of those Avs off their game the rest of the way. And it ultimately ended up in the Hawks getting a power play out of it and them being able to just kind of coast to a victory, Johnny. So I know it's a 60-minute game, and there's not one play always that can, you know, determine the outcome of a game. But anybody that says Colin Blackwell's hit on Nathan MacKinnon didn't have an impact on the outcome or at least make the Hawks' lives easier for those last few minutes of that third period is sorely mistaken.
Right. I wrote a little post up about it and included a quote from Luke Richardson, and he talked about, you know, that hit was big. Colin Blackwell laid on Nathan MacKinnon that we just discussed. But, you know, you could tell MacKinnon was pissed. He was looking around for him. And, you know, what at that point, there's like a minute 30 left on the clock. They should be more focused on scoring. But he absolutely disrupted their rally chance there. And like you said, Blackhawks in turn get a power play there. You know, Ryan Johansson gives face wash to Colin Blackwell. I'm sure he'll take that all day, every day, if it, you know, disrupted a team like Colorado that can be lethal, like it did. So that was encouraging to see. Other than that, you talked about Mr. Connor Bedard dishing out assists like Christmas gifts here. What a beautiful, beautiful play with him and Lucas Reichel. That makes, you know, Hawks fans salivate.
It's, I think that alone, Johnny, if there's one other play to take away from that Avs win, it is that moment for Mr. Connor Bedard setting up Mr. Doghouse Lucas Reichel for a huge one. They needed it. I think Reichel needed it for his confidence. I think Blackhawks fans needed it for the prospect of the future of this team. And if those two can get any kind of chemistry going, momentum going, what have you, the rest of the way, that is going to be such a difference maker for the Blackhawks, more so moving into 2024, 2025. But nonetheless, man, I mean, that's what everybody's been waiting for all season, I think, from an offensive standpoint, was the kids connecting, and they connected for a hell of a goal in a really big game against a really good team.
Let's slide across this whole first line here. We just talked about Connor Bedard with the setup there. You had mentioned Lucas Reichel. We'll talk Lucas Reichel now because he's been a hot topic of discussion amongst all Blackhawks fans and on this show. So, you know, we have ragged him a little bit for his lack of, you know, confidence, lack of swagger, all that we've discussed on the show. But he looks more comfortable now that he's bumped back in the wing and playing with Connor Bedard. And I know they had tried to kind of jump him up in past games at various instances after being kind of doghouse, like you said, to the fourth line. The wing is where he needs to be. I forget exactly which account it was, but it was a little bit more, you know, analytics based one. And they said, you know, the Lucas Reichel experience at center was just not working out. It was not productive. So putting him back where he's comfortable on the wing, I think that's something we talked about back in like early November, Ron.
Yeah, we sure did. And it was something that I think we as a unit said, like, yeah, sure, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt to be a centerman for this team going forward. But there's a couple of guys that we're going to talk about here before the show closes tonight, Johnny, that I think the Hawks are probably eyeballing a little more for that number two center of the future role. If Reichel is going to produce like a first round pick, like a guy that this franchise has very much seen as a part of their future, if he's comfortable on the wing, so be it, right? How many centers come out of junior or come out of wherever they get drafted out of and ultimately become wingers in the NHL? Center's a hard position to play, right? Not every center is going to work out.
There's only four of them available on a given exactly. night, right?
Right. You would rather have guys that can play center. If they have to play the wings, so be it. And if this is the case, then that's great. And maybe this is perfect. Maybe Lucas Reichel can be Connor Bedard's Batman on that top line for a long time. And they can connect for big scoring plays and be complimented like by a guy like they have running with him in that game on Tuesday and still in practice, as Kirk points out here in the comments. Richardson had that Reichel Bedard Donato line going again today in practice. And they were a damn good line on Tuesday night, Johnny.
Close the book on Lucas Reichel. I was about to give him Cole. I was going to assign him Cole if it was more of the same. But you know what? I really do think you combine what happened early on in this calendar year is at the end of last season and his surge in, you know, points when he finally started to, you know, get the full kind of full-time assignment after being down in the AHL for a good chunk of the season. That combined with now what you just saw today, I think he does not get Cole. I'm not going to go and award him with some grandiose gift, Ron, but I think that he doesn't get Cole from me. And part of that too is the better improvement on defense as well, because you go and look, I mean, he was plus two, whereas you look at other games and it was like, okay, he was getting fourth line minutes and he still found a way to be like minus two or three. And that wasn't not that plus minus is the end all be all. It doesn't mean that he was directly responsible for a goal against, so to say, but there definitely were a few of them that you could go and point out from past games. I remember at Edmonton for sure, at least on that one. So no Cole for Lucas Reichel.
He saved
himself on Tuesday. Slide over. Other guy on this line, Ryan Donato. guy's been debated a lot amongst the fan base. Even I, at one point, said I love his want to and his jump, but I didn't think he had first line hands. Well, when you have the other guys doing the handiwork and he just has to do what he does best, I think this makes for a really good combination, as Kirk points out, was back together in practice today on Thursday.
Yeah, you know what, Johnny? And this was a guy that I had chimed to be with Connor Bedard at the top beginning of the season. They gave him a look. It didn't work out. Our boy Skokes, who's been joining us in the comments, was very adamant about getting Ryan Donato off the top line. But Johnny, you nailed it perfectly. That's the kind of player he is. He's a get down into the dirty areas, kind of gritty player. Look at all of his goals this season. All the ones that I can recall on memory, where is he at? Right in front of the net.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the dirty work.
Yeah. It's either a rebound jam, like the furthest it'll be is because a rebound hit the pad and jumped out to like the low slot, right?
Exactly.
It'll be
But that's where he thrives. He thrives at getting into the corner. He thrives at being in those dirty areas around the net. And that's why he works well with two young guys like Lucas Reichel and Connor Bedard, who are as skillful as they are. Bedard can play the I'll go into the corner and retrieve a puck game because he's just so good and so fast. He's so good, Johnny. And then he can dish it out to a guy like Lucas Reichel while Ryan Donato gets in front of the net and creates havoc and creates a turnover. I want to call highlight to Ryan Donato on that top line right now, especially with Connor Bedard here. This was from Scott Powers today with The Athletic. He wrote a big, huge, effectively, we'll call it like a Blackhawks bullets type thing today. But one of the sections within this article related to this top line that is currently rolling together. And I will read directly here from Scott Powers. He said, of the forwards, Bedard has played at least 50 minutes with at 5-on-5 ice time this season. His numbers are best with Ryan Donato. In 104 minutes of ice time together, they have a goals expected percentage of 51.8, an actual goals percentage of 72.73, according to Natural Stat Trick. In addition, Blackhawks have outscored opponents 8-3 with Bedard and Donato on the ice at the same time. So he clearly works well with a guy like Ryan Donato. I think keeping him in that role, especially if it's going to be Lucas Reichel on the left wing right now, makes a lot of sense. And Johnny, the beauty of this season is if this line starts to fizzle in 6 or 7 games, then you switch it up again, hit the big blender button and see what happens and see what works. But clearly they've found something, and maybe, Johnny, just maybe, with Donato playing up on that top line now, and if Reichel and Bedard can create some chemistry, maybe Philip Kurashev can help drive some of that depth scoring. It's not just Nick Foligno and the boys anymore down there doing the depth scoring. Maybe Philip Kurashev can provide some of that from a third line now in the lineup. And maybe you balance out the offense a little bit here going forward.
Yeah, and that's the hope, right? Because it felt kind of lifeless, the efforts previously. I'm going to steal a quote from one of our excellent designers over at OnTap Sportsnet, Danny Schwartz. And he says, aces in your places, right? Mm. Put the aces in their places. And I think that's exactly what happens when you put this combination together. At least you saw how it clicked on Tuesday night. And who knows? Like you said, maybe there is a line blunder that needs to come and maybe they get solved a little bit. But for now, why not go with something that's working? Why not ride the hot hand for a bit here in letting Lucas Reichel play the wing because the center experiment failed, in letting Ryan Donato do the dirty work down low? And Ryan, I need to point out that goal celebration after he, you know, jammed in, of course, a goal on the doorstep on Tuesday against the Avs. The fist pump through the crease was cool and tough. Absolutely love it. And that's kind of energy that Ryan Donato brings, but he's able to do that kind of stuff because of the setups from guys like Connor Bedard, Lucas Reichel, more skilled guys that he's playing alongside. Now, on the other flip side of that, though, it sends a guy like Anthony Beauvillier in practice today down to the fourth line, which is interesting. I don't know exactly how that all works out for Mr. Beauvillier in particular, but at the same time, you got to give yourself the best chance. And if that unit worked, I think that's what you need to do, at least going forward for the immediate future in terms of talking about Friday against the St. Louis Blues Friday against Montreal, Saturday against St. Louis Blues. That's what I would, you know, expect to see, especially given that they were on the same line in practice today. So that's kind of the line blender, you know, throw it in the blender with all your Christmas cookies there. That's what we're talking about here. All right, Ron, we got the World Juniors coming up. One of my favorite holiday traditions starts on Boxing Day, Canada. Blackhawks got 6 representatives total, 4 on Team USA. That'll be Gavin Hayes, Oliver Moore, Frank Nazar, and Sam Renzel. And then 2 on Slovakia, Adam Gajan and Martin Misiak. That whole tournament starts officially on on Monday, December 26th. And then It'll
run. Is that Tuesday, Johnny?
Yeah, Tuesday. Excuse me. I'm getting my days messed up here. Holiday time. It's tough to remember.
There are no days during the holidays. It's just the holidays.
Right. Starts on the 26th, though, the official tournament. So it'll be fun to see, and that'll bring a New Year's Eve matchup between those two sides since they're both in Group B. I wrote up the full schedule. Go and check out ontapsportsnet.com. Go and see that full list of everything there. But Ron, we had a little highlight already come out today because there's a pre-tournament game. And Frank Nazar, how about him laying the boom, just like Colin Blackwell did the other night?
Yeah, Frank Nazar came flying out like Santa's sleigh, Johnny, to make that hit. He looked like the reindeer in the Santa Claus movies taking out Tim Allen because he can't stop. It was a hell of a hit. And Nazar's not a guy that most people expect. He's a skill guy,
yeah.
Yeah, that you don't expect to be laying the body like that. But I think especially, Johnny, for a guy who's a center, a guy that the Blackhawks see potentially as a future maybe two- or three-line center on this team going forward, that's the kind of energy you want to see out of that kind of guy, though. You want the skill. You want the, you know, the ability to play offense. That's all fine and dandy. But if you can show kind of a mean streak and you're willing to play a little gritty and you set yourself up to kind of fit with what this Blackhawks team has kind of defined under Luke Richardson, right? Hashtag grit, hashtag culture, hashtag rah. Like, that's what he did with that hit. And I know there was some discussion I saw on the interwebs today about, like, oh, does he get, like, suspended because of the hit? I don't think so. I don't think it was a dirty hit by any means. Sure, it was a vicious hit, but
IIHF is a little testy on those.
They are,
but I don't think it would be different if he like left his feet and contacted the head. It's like he put it right into his chest.
Yeah, he just skated through the guy. Yeah, he skated through the guy. So I mean, even if he gets if he does get penalized for it, I can't imagine him getting more than a game in the tournament. Let's be frank. So, but you love to see it nonetheless, Johnny, especially when one of these up-and-coming prospects is making good headlines, you know, and playing good hockey on the ice. And it's cool seeing them in the red, white, and blue as well.
Yeah, but playing into our Christmas theme, Ron, all I want for Christmas is these prospects to pan out. And I know not all of them are going to, but I'm just scarred from the White Sox because they were supposed to have so many of these guys pan out in my baseball fandom there. But I put out a tweet the other night, Ron, and this was after that highlight reel goal that Bedard fed Lucas Reichel on. And I said, if Lucas Reichel just becomes a Connor Bedard merchant, I'm honestly okay with it as long as Nazar or Moore can fill 2C, or if not, then you go out and spend big in free agency and actually land an impact guy up the middle there. That's what all I want for Christmas, Ron, is prospects to pan out like they're supposed to, because it's fun to talk about all of this future plans and stuff. But that can all go awry because of an injury, because of underperformance, because you just don't develop at the right pace. So what do you want for Christmas hockey-wise, Ron?
Johnny, I mean, hashtag crack 'em. First off, I think this is the time where, you know, like when you're in class and you can't think of what to write down and you look at your partner's paper. And I think I'm going to join you on this one, Johnny, because I want to elaborate on that thought for a second about prospects working out. You've experienced it on the White Sox side. Prospects not necessarily working out the way they were promised or supposed to. Chicago Cubs had that happen in some ways, obviously not to the same level, right? They won a World Series because a lot of those guys, but look at over the course, right? They never got better. They became stagnant, things like that. The Blackhawks, even, Johnny, let's recall Kirby Dach didn't work out, right? At least not in a Blackhawks sweater, at least. Henry Yokiharu was traded before we could ever see what he became. Gustav Forsling has become a top pairing defenseman elsewhere. Yeah, after being a Chicago Blackhawk. And the list goes on. Tuvo Teravainen, and you name it. Right?
Marco Dano days. Yeah.
Marco Dano, Philip Danault. Do you remember Mark McNeil?
Yeah.
We can dive into the bag of tricks here, Johnny. We got accustomed to prospects not working out. We really did. Yeah. If you look at the Stan Bowman era of the team. Stan's
puck-moving defenseman.
None of them worked out. Adam Boqvist didn't work out the way he was supposed to as a number 7 overall pick. Like, the list can go on and on. So I think even, Johnny, to your point, Blackhawks fans are a little scarred at this whole prospect thing, right? Everybody's excited because of Connor Bedard, and Bedard's a generational talent, truthfully. Like, there's no doubt about that. But the key for this now new front office is really going to be a lot of these young guys. And I think you've seen it with some of them. So my ask for Christmas, Johnny, builds on top of yours. So we can combine our gifts, like the really cool Power Rangers, you know, the big guy you could build with all the different like animals and stuff. That's what I want. I want our gifts to complement each other for Christmas, Johnny, because you want prospects to work out. I want prospects to work out. I just want them to continue this development cycle that they have, because Alex Vlasic looks like he's going to be a beauty, and he was right. a homegrown talent. And you can make the same argument about Isaac Phillips as well. There's a number of guys that we've already started to see a little bit of impact from, Johnny, in the system that have benefited from playing in Rockford and developing and things of that nature. So my want for Christmas from the Blackhawks is continuing this successful development of guys within your own infrastructure and continue to do that, especially because, Johnny, if draft picks were gifts from Santa, the tree's going to be real full underneath it for the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, Ron. And you know, I have a little extra holiday cheer in my tone here because of seeing like those guys that you mentioned, Alex Vlasic and Kevin Korchinski, especially because that was one that you and I were kind of questioning if does he need to go back to juniors or just because of the age, are they going to do it and any of that? And it's like, he's playing so well that they're not even sending him off to Canada and playing the World Juniors this year. Whereas go and look at a team like Boston. And now I know they can afford it a little bit more because they built up their points and whatever, but they're sending Porteous over there, right? There's other guys. I believe Montreal sent someone too out to a World Juniors assignment there. And I get it. You really want to let those guys play. And I remember when the Hawks let Kirby Dach go and all of that. But the thing is,
then Kirby Dach got hurt, did he not, at the World Juniors?
He did end up getting
the wrist injury.
Neither here nor there. The fact is that Kevin Korchinski has proved that he belongs at this level, right? 100%. So that's kind of thing that makes me excited for it, but I'm still skeptical in terms of that might not be the same for every single guy. It's encouraging that those couple of guys have, but I'm not going to proclaim Frank Nazar to see of the future just yet when he's only a sophomore in college and still playing World Juniors here. And just because we got excited about a big hit in a pre-tournament game, not anointing him, I'm just, you know, pointing it out there, but putting it out in the world, I'd like them all to develop. That'd be my Christmas, you know, wish list in terms of hockey here, but just had to bring that up. So I think that's good discussion on Christmas wish lists here, Ron. We'll do a little holiday stuff, but before we close down here, but get to some of our regular segments, ruffle some feathers, salt shaker here. I'm going to start ruffle some feathers, and I don't even need to ruffle anybody's feathers because the Colorado Avalanche ruffled their own feathers. If you remember a few weeks back, Mikko Rantanen was calling out Arturi Lekkonen's dad, his countryman, about comments that he made on a broadcast about Mikko Rantanen not training well enough in the offseason. So that kind of like stirred the seeds of like kind of like unrest in the Avs locker room. Then you have for them an absolutely unacceptable loss to the Blackhawks on Tuesday night, and maybe Colin Blackwell sent all this into motion because they weren't able to, you know, tie or take that game to overtime, whatever. And Devin Taves, he says, I think we got some guys who think they're playing well, and I think they're kidding themselves at this point. He said that in the United Center locker room after this loss to the Blackhawks, Ron. I don't even need to do it. They ruffled their own feathers. I absolutely love to see disarray in the Colorado Avalanche locker room when they're like tied for first place at the top of the Central. Maybe their fantasy land is coming to an end. And I would love nothing more than that. So that's my ruffle some feathers.
I love that. Yeah. And how can, I think we can make the argument that Colin Blackwell was maybe the final shake to ruffle those feathers and really get everybody moving in motion here, because it is really crazy. All this, like these backhanded comments and everything coming out of the Colorado Avs locker room. Nobody else is really going through that now in the NHL. It's just them.
I can share it here for maybe people that aren't on X, but I had shared it out because Makar was out for that game against the Blackhawks, he's dealing with lower body thing. And I said, Salad Boy misses three games and the Avs start, you know, throwing each other under the bus. That's what it feels like here. So I don't know. Maybe it's just coincidental timing with it, but I just thought that was funny. And that was very, you know, evident instance of ruffle some feathers. You got any?
I do not, Johnny. I'm so deep in the holiday spirit, I can't ruffle any feathers.
Let's move it on down to the salt shaker then. The salty ham here? It's going to be any Avs fan that was in our mentions on X about being upset about Colin Blackwell's hit on Nathan MacKinnon. And I believe someone said, oh, well, if Blackwell thinks it's okay to run stars like that, they're going to start lining up Connor Bedard. Guess what? They already have.
They tried doing that.
Dmitry Kulikov already tried it down in Florida, and guess what? He got not just a face washing like Ryan Johansson gave Colin Blackwell after a whistle.
Got abused.
Nick Foligno just said, fuck the play, and went and tackled Dmitry Kulikov to the ice. So that's what happens there. They're salty about that loss to the Blackhawks, I think, more so than anything. So that's salt shaker for this episode of Four Feathers Pod. All right, Ron, stick taps here as we get close to winding down.
Yeah, I got a stick tap, like I mentioned earlier in the show, and that does go out to number 98. And everybody's going to be like, what do you got to stick tap him for? He's such a great player. Well, I saw a graphic before the game on Tuesday comparing their first, 25 games or whatever, between McKinnon and Bedard. And Bedard is not only outpacing McKinnon from his age 18 season, but in addition to that, it just seems like the game is starting to slow down more and more for him each and every week, Johnny. That game on Tuesday night was a perfect example. His awareness, his vision, his just presence with the puck. It almost gets better every game, and I didn't think that was humanly possible after the start that he's been on. But Johnny, if number 98 is getting comfortable on the NHL level ice, watch the hell out to the rest of the NHL, because he's going to terrorize people for a long time. So big stick taps to Mr. Bedard, who also, by the way, looks like an absolute midget compared to Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if anybody saw that today.
Spurs in town tonight. Yeah.
I will give credit where it's due. Alex Pat, who's kind of become a friend of Cubs on Tap and Four Feathers. He tweeted it out. Connor Meemer is just staring straight up.
Yeah.
Incredible. It was 100% what it was. It was that alone was comedy on the social media platform
today,
the Blackhawks. So thank you for that. Because Bedard looked like an absolute a toddler in comparison to Wembanyama.
That was cool, Rod. A cool instance. I like the little conversation, at least the clip that they shared. I'm sure it'll be probably more or longer, like whatever, you know, conversation between the two. But the little clip, you know, Connor talking hockey with Wemby, and he said that he loves fights. So it's a little stick tap to Wemby there. So he doesn't watch a whole lot of hockey, but he enjoys the fights. So I like that. All right, I've got a couple of stick taps. One will go out to Ryan Donato. I already mentioned it earlier, but that fist pump through the crease. You know, Connor Bedard has had some good sellies this year, but I feel like overall the sellies haven't been all that like gif worthy, if that makes sense, right? Where's I can make a gif out of that Ryan Donato one? It's greasy, it's out back. I like that. And then my other one goes out just in general. This is more of a general hockey one. The NHL Network. I love On the Fly, catching up on all the highlights from the night before. But with the World Juniors upcoming, you know me, I absolutely love watching this around the holiday time. They're broadcasting every single game. Every single game, they're on NHL Network. You're going to be able to see it at the World Juniors. Unfortunately, a lot of them are going to be early in the morning, whatever. So maybe there are a few days where I'm getting up at 5 a.m. to watch, you know, Frank Nazar and the boys for Team USA to lace them up. But either way, it's an option there. It's on NHL Network. You don't have to go sail the high seas of the internet to go and find the World Junior Games. So the stick taps NHL Network and this holiday season. All right, Ron, we're going to take a look at what's on tap next. Blackhawks got two more games before Christmas comes. And first one will be Friday at home against Montreal, original six matchup. Puck drop is at 7:30. It's simulcast NBC Sports Chicago and NBC 5. When the Bulls had some of their home in-season tournament games back in November, they announced that NBC would be simulcasting a couple of games for each winter sports team here in Chicago. So that'll be a cool experience. Maybe draw some more eyes to the Blackhawks in this one. And then another one will be Saturday at St. Louis, 7:00, NBC Sports Chicago Plus on Saturday, the 23rd. So, Ron, what are you looking for from the Blackhawks in these last two games before the holiday?
Johnny, I want to see them play hockey like they did on Tuesday night. And I know that's a very cliche and a very easy answer, but it's true, because I think we saw a lot of things on Tuesday night from this team that we probably haven't seen since that first opening stretch of the season in October, maybe outside of that Toronto game on Black Friday, if we're being honest. They had the fight. They had the passion. They had the grit. The culture truly bled through onto the ice, and you saw it in their play. The defensemen making the smart plays, not trying to do too much. The forwards getting good rushes. A confident Lucas Reichel, which we absolutely love to see. More of what we saw on Tuesday, and I swear to God, if we see the Swiss cheese meme that is Arvid Soderblom and Ned at all this weekend, which we will because it's a back-to-back. Yeah,
we really haven't talked about him a whole lot this episode.
We haven't, and it's kept the holiday spirit high, Johnny.
Think they just slip him in there for Saturday at St. Louis, let the home fans see Mrazek and hopefully a win?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I hope they win both games, obviously, but I just more good play, and I really hope that Reichel, Bedard, Donato line continues to churn, because if it does, that could be a really fun line to watch here in going into January.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that too. Hopefully that chemistry keeps up so we don't have to hit the line blunder like your Christmas cookie so quickly here in these next couple of games. But we'll see how it pans out. Ron, predictions for this. Do you think the Hawks split it, or do you think they win both, lose both? Well, what's going on?
1-0-1. I think they lose an overtime game in one of these two.
Yeah. 1-0-1. Okay.
1-0-1. Okay. Yeah.
I'll go 1-1. I would imagine, like I said, Arvid Soderblom.
Whatever game Mrazek starts, they win.
Yeah, on Saturday. And hopefully they put on a good show for the bigger audience that you would hope is watching with that simulcast going on Friday night with the Montreal Canadiens in town. They're a bit banged up and not, you know, playing up to probably where they want to be right now, although expectations are always high when it comes to Canadian media for them up there. But either way, I remember the last time the Montreal Canadiens were in the Blackhawks building, and that was Kirby Dach scoring that shootout winner, right? And giving it to the crowd. So we'll pay back for that. I keep that kind of shit in the back of my mind, Ron. So that's how I figure it. They'll go 1-1 over this next stretch here into the holiday break. All right. Last topic I've got for you, not hockey related at all. Let's go. Favorite Christmas food, drink, and movie.
Ooh, that's a good one. Food. You know, Johnny, I'll be honest, we never always did the traditional, I guess I'll call them Christmas foods, right?
Yeah.
But my go-to has always been, when we've done it, it's like the Italian beef and lasagna combo. Mm. Like, give me all the Italian, I want a reek of garlic out of my pores at the end of the day combo. So that's probably up there with the favorite food of Christmas time. Favorite Christmas drink? You know, I don't really get too heavy into the festive drinks, Johnny, but I will 100% dabble with a little bit of eggnog around this time of the season. Okay. And if it's not on the hashtag crack'em line of participation, then I don't want it. Favorite Christmas movie? I am an old soul when it comes to my favorite Christmas movie. It has a lot of sentimental value for me and my family, especially with my grandfather passing back in March. I'm a big White Christmas guy. I love just the music and the message and all of that. So for me, that one kind of gets me really into the Christmas spirit. And you can actually probably still find it. It's over there. Go Google it. White Christmas over at ontapsportsnet.com. You'll hear all about my my annual tradition of cracking open a good old Goose Island Bourbon County and taking in the old classic White Christmas. So that is my favorite of those three, Johnny. But I'm intrigued to hear yours. I'm very excited.
All right. Yeah, we're getting into the Christmas spirit here, winding down this episode of Four Feathers Podcast. So my food, same thing. Not too traditional in terms of, like, you know, some people like have ham or like whatever. It's like maybe kind of like a somewhat Thanksgiving style of meal. We for my family's Christmas party, it's always hors d'oeuvres is a big thing, especially on Christmas Eve. So
love that.
There's homemade chicken wings with this breading that is just, it is nothing like nothing I've ever had. I've had plenty of good chicken wings. I love Bird's Nest up in the city. There's a place out in the suburbs that I love called Chicken and Spice, but nothing is, it's only once a year, only on Christmas Eve. So these like hors d'oeuvre chicken wings, I absolutely load up on them. Love them. For Christmas, you know, I'm usually a beer drinker. So I like when I get into some of the hard liquors at Christmas with the family. And one of my cousins used to be a bartender. So he would always bring in some, you know, the unique sort of cocktail ingredients from his joint. And I always love the standard Manhattan. That's always good. You know, if they get some whiskey or bourbon, that's always good around the holidays. But I do enjoy some Bailey's and coffee too, or maybe some Jameson, a little Irish coffee. You know, after you've had your fair share of food, get the little caffeine along with the keeping the booze train rolling. So I could go either way on that, but I'll go more on the hard liquor side for that. Movie, you went sentimental. I'm going raunchy. Bad Santa. Bad Santa is my favorite, followed closely by the Christmas the Trailer Park Boys Xmas special, because Mr. Leahy, I am the liquor. All right, we got our guy Kirk chiming in and says his favorite holiday drink, the classic old fashioned. Gotta love it. Always good around the holidays. I mean, I
see, any you time know, of the year, but I was gonna say, I'm such a like old fashioned bourbon guy, like all year round, that for me at the holidays, it's not like a special holiday drink per se.
All right, Steve agrees with my bad Santa. I have a whole list of very wholesome holiday shows and movies that I watch, you know, Family Guy, Bad Santa, like I said, the Trailer Park Boys one there, plenty of them there. So I go the opposite route. I will say, from the classic ones, I do, you know, if I'm going old school, It's a Wonderful Life, but man, Bad Santa cracks me the hell up. Billy Bob Thornton in that, and Thurman Merman, one of the goats. So shout out to my boy Kins. He absolutely loves Thurman Merman when we watch that together. So, all right, Rod, we're about wrapping it up here in season 5, episode 18 of the Four Feathers podcast. One last holiday thought for the listeners here.
Happy holidays, everybody. Be safe, but enjoy the hell out of it with your friends and family and the loved ones that maybe you don't necessarily share blood with. Just enjoy it all, and hopefully the Blackhawks get some victories here around the holidays. We got a game on the calendar for December 27th. A TBS game, Johnny, I believe? It's against the Winnipeg Jets. It's an 8 o'clock start, so it's on one of the channels.
No, I want to say it's ESPN, just, maybe? Or whatever. Yeah, maybe ESPN. I'd have to go and check the broadcast schedule on that. But either way, it's 8 o'clock start instead of 7.
It is. So, it is. A little late night start. So that'll be a fun one coming up here during the holiday season. But, yeah, happy holidays to everybody. I hope everybody enjoys the hell out of it. And continue to watch the Hawks, have fun with it, and hope if you get some really cool Hawks gear this Christmas, share it with us here at Four Feathers.
Yeah, at Four Feathers Pod on X and Instagram, and at OnTap Sportsnet as well. We'll share them from those locations. My last holiday thoughts here. Once again, enjoy the family and friends. Stay tuned with us over on those socials for World Juniors coverage. That's one of my favorite holiday traditions. So I'll be pumping out any highlights that are related to Blackhawks prospects there, and have some write-ups over at ontapsportsnet.com for you on that front as well. One thing that we had asked for in terms of our, you know, Hawks Christmas wish list, Ron, the prospects aren't under your tree this year. I'm sorry to say it. So keep a level head when it comes to all of that, because, you know, you might see Korchinski, you might see Vlasic here, but I've seen a lot of hype. I've seen a lot of hype around the future of this team. And it's okay to be excited about those guys and their potential. But that's the thing. It's just potential at this point. You're not going to know till they prove it. So I wouldn't get too in, you know, over your head about, you know, Oliver Moore is the bona fide 2C of the future.
Johnny, I don't know about that yet. As you always say, never get up for the letdown.
Yeah, I hate to leave it on that, Ron, but that was one of our wishes, so I wanted to circle back on it and say it might still be a few years in the factory up at the Hockey North Pole. So take it as it comes. Enjoy the holidays, everybody. Let's go Hawks.
Let's go Hawks, baby.